Welcome to On Point. I'm your host, Roger McConnell, and I'll be here every other Tuesday at 1 p.m. with topical shows addressing the needs and concerns of military veterans and active duty personnel. I'm going to read an excerpt out of this month's VFW magazine, and it's about the Washington Wire, and the little headline is Special Veterans Courts Flourishing. VFW supported alternative court system for veterans facing who are facing legal troubles is now 5 years old, and growing numbers of veteran courts have increased from 5 in 2008 to 166 by the end of 2012. So that brings me to the introduction of my guest. He is the first term district court judge for Cascade County, the Honorable Greg Pinsky, who is here to talk about Great Falls' brand new vet court. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you, Roger. It's a pleasure to be here.
What is a vet court? If you can just give me a brief overview.
Sure. A veterans court is what we call a problem-solving court, right? And what we try to do in the veterans court is we identify veterans who found themselves in the criminal justice system who are suffering from mental health disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, substance abuse problems, all of which may have been in large part brought on by their military experience. Unfortunately, those conditions, as we all know, can lead to a lot of problems. They can lead to homelessness, they can lead to family problems, they can lead to money problems, and all of those things, unfortunately, in many instances, lead to problems with the law, and that results in those folks being in the criminal justice system. So what we try to do with the Veterans Court is we bring together a team of professionals who put together a plan to address the problems that those vets are having so that then they can be rehabilitated, solve their problems, and come back into the community and be productive members of society at that point.
How did this get started? It's been in effect, what, 5+ years now? The first one was where, Greg?
Right, in Buffalo, New York. A judge there named Judge Russell was the pioneer of veterans courts around the United States, and he had identified in one particular year that he had encountered 300 veterans in his court. And so he was identifying the issues that these veterans were suffering from, and he felt like this is something that we need to do. That was back in 2008. As you had mentioned, since that time, these veterans courts have been taking hold throughout the United States, and we're now having one in Great Falls.
Yeah, and they're modeled after a drug court?
Right. We've had an existing drug treatment court in Great Falls since 2005. The drug court phenomena has been around for almost two decades at this point. And so these veterans courts are building off of the existing structure and model that's been in place for the drug courts that work.
Why reinvent the wheel?
Absolutely.
So you decided you wanted a vet court even before you were elected, didn't you?
You know, I struggled during my campaign last year. Judicial elections in some ways seem kind of boring to people. I mean, they're nonpartisan. The judicial ethics rules put restrictions on the things that we can say and the things that we can do as judicial candidates. We can't identify with a political party. We can't talk about political issues. We can't identify, you know, our feelings about various matters out there. So people don't really know a whole lot about the candidates. And I wanted to talk about something, you know, talk about something other than myself, quite honestly. So I looked at the court system. I looked at the justice system, and I said, "What can I do? What can I talk about? What can I have as a goal?" And I identified this issue of the Veterans Court. So I, you know, talked about it during my campaign. I've studied it. I learned about it. I went to other courts to see how they operated. And literally from the day I took office in January, my team has been focused on seeing this happen, and now November 12th, it will happen.
Now, you actually went to Buffalo, New York, where this first vet court came into being.
I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's three courts. Buffalo's one of them, Tulsa, and then in Orange County, California. The veterans courts in those three locations are actually designated as mentor courts. And so they train other veterans court teams on how to start a veterans court. And so a number of my team members and I obtained a grant, applied for and obtained a grant for a visit to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we spent 2 days down there with this exceptional veterans court in Tulsa, learning about their process and their team and how to be successful.
The target population of veterans here, obviously the ones who've been in combat, who maybe have PTSD. If they've been in combat, they have a form of PTSD, no matter how slight, or TBI. So those are the main people that you're going to find in vet court, do you suppose?
Well, first of all, you know, of course, someone has to have a issue in the court system or in the criminal justice system. And so then at that point, what we're really looking for is once someone is in the criminal justice system, we're looking for folks that need treatment, that at the root of their problem is not that they're criminals by nature, but because of the conditions that they're suffering from, they are committing crimes. I mean, we're seeing people who have never had a criminal background, have never had a substance abuse problem or a mental health disorder. They go into the service, they suffer, you know, combat-inflicted physical or mental injuries, and then they come out, and all of a sudden, they're having problems with alcohol or drugs, or they're having mental health disorders that are causing them to commit crimes. And so we're looking for those folks that need help, And the courts, in my estimation, you know, I sort of have a fundamental belief that the courts don't exist just to dispense justice. They exist to make the community a better, safer place. And this is one of those programs in the court system that can really make a difference for these people.
Exactly. You said there's a way of making a determination on who would be the best candidates. You want to touch on that briefly?
Absolutely. First of all, the legislature, in enacting the legislation that allows for these problem-solving courts to exist, including the Veterans Court, the requirements are that, first of all, they have certain offenses are ineligible for participation in a problem-solving court. I mean, someone who's committed a homicide, alleged to have committed a homicide or a rape or an aggravated assault, things like that, those offenses are not qualifying. Beyond that, the statute simply requires that the county attorney, the defense attorney, and the judge approve of a participant being involved in the problem-solving court. And I can tell you that what I do is we have a treatment team that's been put together. We have on that treatment team is a member of the county attorney's office, a public defender, a probation officer, members from the Veterans Administration, VA Healthcare, the Vet Center, mental health providers, volunteer veteran mentors like yourself. We all come together and we discuss the participants and we identify what their needs are, and then I make a decision in terms of sentencing that offender for their offense. I make a decision on whether to sentence them to the problem-solving court, the veterans court in this instance.
And it can also be called a treatment court?
Could be called a treatment court, right. I mean, like I said, we have an existing adult drug treatment court in Cascade County as well as a juvenile drug treatment court, and the veterans court is under those same principles.
Now, would you go into a little greater depth on who might be a member of your team? I know the mentors, the district attorney, prosecuting attorney, and then the public defenders, and
right.
Who else?
Public,
there?
Right. We have the attorney representatives who are members of the team. keeping in mind what we're trying to accomplish here, we're trying to put together a program that has an intensive supervision component to it. So we have a member of a Montana probation and parole officer who himself is a veteran to work with these folks and supervise them, right? We also have substance abuse providers, so licensed addiction counselors who are familiar with the needs and treatment of substance abuse disorders. We have vet center representatives who are on the team. They, of course, help combat injured veterans who have specialized needs related to that experience. We have representatives from the VA who are there to help coordinate available VA benefits, available medical care, and to provide support for the veterans from the VA standpoint. We have a member of the Cascade County Sheriff's Office, a deputy sheriff who's on the team to lend law enforcement support to the program. And then, of course, we have the volunteer mentors who are there to lend moral support to the participants as they go through the program. Finally, and I don't think I'm forgetting anyone, but finally we have the mental health providers, and whether it be someone who's experienced in PTSD or someone who's experienced in more generalized mental health disorders, counselors and therapists who provide treatment to the veteran participants.
And I think, after having attended a couple of workshops on my aspect of this, that you're always looking for candidates for resources, no matter how extraneous their support might be. And once again, all of these programs are individually carried out. It's not one size fits all for each of these participants. Is that correct?
Oh, it's completely individualized. Everyone has individualized needs in terms of their treatment. Their, you know, maybe one person is having PTSD that's giving rise to certain mental health disorders, but that person may not have a substance abuse problem, whereas another individual may not have PTSD, but they're suffering from substance abuse. So you always have to tailor the program to the individual. You know, along those same lines, you know, as you mentioned, just in terms of putting resources together, not only, you know, I've been emphasizing the problems that the veterans have with mental health disorders and substance abuse, but it goes more fundamentally than that. So they may need help with educational issues.
Right.
They may need help with housing issues. They may need help with family issues, with parenting. I mean, these are all, at the most fundamental level, a cause of problems, especially and particularly with someone with PTSD or traumatic brain injury. So we are putting together an intensive program and treatment plan to really address all of the issues that a veteran is suffering from.
Perfect. All right. Now, there are those people who might suggest that drug court is an easy way out, that they get coddled and protected from the full impact of the law, the repercussions of law. How would you answer those people?
Well, let me ask you this. I'll ask you a question here, because you've seen you've come and observed my drug treatment court, which is very similar to how the Veterans Court will operate. Was it like anything you've ever seen?
No.
It, you know, people are used to watching TV, Law and Order,
Judge
CSI,
Judy.
Judge Judy, nothing like Judge Judy.
Thank you.
And they're used to seeing an adversarial atmosphere where the prosecutor is arguing one thing and the defense lawyer is arguing another and the judge is making rulings. These treatment courts, the Veterans Court, the Drug Court, they shed that adversarial atmosphere. And yeah, it can come across a little touchy-feely at times, because you know, these participants are before me. I'm asking how their job is going. I'm asking them, you know, how their kids are doing, asking how they're, you know, if they're getting along better with their spouse. I'm talking to them about their goals, what they've accomplished, maybe setbacks that they've had. It's an atmosphere in a courtroom that few people have ever seen. So in that instance, would it come across as a little touchy-feely? It would.
Right, it would. But it works.
But it works. And the other thing is, as I tell defendants when I sentence them to these programs, that if they want to get off easy, they should just go to jail. They should just go do their time. Yeah. Because we have very high expectations in the Veterans Court and in the treatment court. They have a task sheet every week of things that they need to do. And at the start of the program, those requirements are onerous. For instance, it would involve coming to court every single week. It would involve, if for someone with a substance abuse problem, going to community support groups like AA or NA, sometimes up to 7 days a week. We require, if those folks need that level, that they go and do that much. It'll require one-on-one counseling appointments. It'll require attendance at groups. It'll require obtaining any PTSD-related or TBI-related medical care that they need. It will involve frequent, sometimes up to 3 or 4 times a week, of drug tests. If they have a drug problem, we're going to make sure that they're not using. If they have an alcohol problem, it may mean participating in the 24/7 program where twice a day they're going and taking a breathalyzer test to ensure that they're not drinking.
You're teaching responsibility here. Directly or indirectly, these people are not getting off easy. They are learning to manage their lives. They're given and let me quickly reintroduce my guest when we're halfway through the show or thereabouts. It's a first-term district court judge for Cascade County, the Honorable Greg Pinsky. And we're talking about drug courts and Great Falls Drug Court that is to be dedicated next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, right.
Yes, and so excuse me, Greg.
But no, you're right. We are teaching responsibility, and we're going farther than that. And you might know this better than me. I don't have all the mottos of the branches of the military memorized, but responsibility, we're teaching integrity, yes. We're teaching honor, we're teaching commitment. Those are all principles of the military that these veterans learned from the very first day, and in fact they had instilled in them, and that's what led them to serve our country. And somewhere along the lines, those may have been lost or forgotten, and this program reinstills those military values.
And like you said, it's not easy. They are expected to perform. Now, it's a system based on, I think you said, incentives and sanctions.
Right.
You want to talk about that a little bit, about how you use that to motivate these young men and women to make these changes?
Right. The system is governed by incentives and sanctions. I mean, if you think about what motivates people, one of the things that motivates people in anything that they do is just simply recognition. So these participants are back in court frequently, and when they do things and they accomplish things, for instance, there's five phases, four main phases, and then a maintenance phase to the program. And so as they accomplish each phase, we have a set of dog tags, and they earn a dog tag at each phase of the program. Again, these may seem like little trivial things to someone who's not in the program, but to someone who's in the program and is setting goals and is accomplishing them, and is maybe for the first time in a good portion of their life maintaining sobriety, these are huge accomplishments when they've been able to have the tools that they need to stay sober for 60 days. It may not seem that may not seem that long to someone who's not an alcoholic, but to an alcoholic, that's a huge accomplishment.
Exactly.
And we recognize that. So they're rewarded and incentivized for the things that they accomplish. I mean, maybe it's something little that they've been unemployed and they've been searching for a job. If they come one week and they've finally, after all of the searching and struggles of finding employment, obtained a job, maybe they'll get a gift card. Maybe they'll get a $10 gift card. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's just that recognition that comes from a court. Keep in mind that you know, whatever encounters these participants have had with the justice system in the past, normally when you have an encounter with a judge, it's not a positive thing.
That's right.
It's not a positive thing. And so to get that positive reinforcement from someone that you don't expect it from, I think makes it all that more meaningful.
I believe that.
Along the same lines, there are sanctions that can go along with it. So for instance, you know, if someone is drinking and they're not supposed to, it may mean that for 30 days they do 30 AAs a day.
30 AAs for the whole month?
Yeah, every single day.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
It's 90 days. That's a lot.
That's a lot of meetings.
There's nothing that's more precious to anybody in this world at a sort of a philosophical level than time. Okay? So what these folks are working toward is getting the help that they need and getting out of the program. And the more that they do and the more that they accomplish, the quicker they get out of the program. So to take time away from them is a harsh sanction. Now there's other instances where, you know, we have to use jail sanctions. Maybe someone has, you know, gone out and maybe they've had a serious use problem. After they've, you know, had treatment, they've gone out and used, not because of their addiction, but just from a criminal standpoint. And in that instance, a jail sanction it'll happen on the spot. And unfortunately, that has to happen sometimes.
Well, sometimes, and it is effective. Now, just out of curiosity, what are the recidivism rates of vet court graduates versus the regular population of veterans who are put away?
Well, here's what we know. Of course, these veterans courts, we don't know anything here in Cascade
Sure.
County because we're just getting started. Buffalo's been around the longest, so it's been the most studied veterans court in terms of its success rate. What we know about Buffalo is, as of 2011 study that was done in Buffalo, they had 82 veteran participants as of that time. Of those 82, two had been reincarcerated and one had been rearrested. So they really had three failures in their program.
That's
of
amazing.
82 participants. Now, here's the telling statistic. The telling statistic is the last Bureau of Justice Statistics study that was done of recidivism rates in the United States, they studied 300,000 offenders across 15 states. They had a re-arrest rate of 67.5% within 3 years. 67%.
Rearrest, right?
Rearrest. That means they were 67% of the people who'd been incarcerated had been rearrested within 3 years.
Versus 4% in the Buffalo vet court.
Right, versus 4%.
That's astounding.
It is. It's astonishing.
There will be people that ask you, well, this surely is going to, all these people meeting all the time, it's going to add a huge expense to the court system. Is that going to be the case?
They've studied the costs involved with these programs. Now, keep in mind that there is an enormous cost associated with incarcerating someone in this country. I think the last figure that I saw here in Cascade County at the Cascade County Jail, it costs something approaching $100 a day to incarcerate someone at the Cascade County Jail. And that figure only goes up as you start talking the Montana State Prison and other states. The studies show that for every dollar invested in these veteran court programs, you save $3.36 in criminal justice-related costs.
So it's not going to cost anywhere near as much money as regular incarceration.
That's absolutely right. And when you factor, and then when you factor into that healthcare savings and the like, you actually save $12 for every dollar that's been invested in these programs.
Right. Good deal.
And that's a lot of that is driven by the fact that you are treating problems, and therefore, once you treat those problems, you don't have criminals at the very root of their existence. You've addressed their problem, and they're not going to reoffend.
Right, and they're not going back to jail where they can learn worse habits.
Right.
They're in a system where they're getting positive rewards versus what they might find if they're incarcerated.
Well, and of course, you know, the ultimate reward for someone successfully completing this program is that they lead a crime-free life,
and that they're sober.
That they're sober. That they've treated their mental health disorder,
PTSD, TBI. That they're out of that cage of isolation and everything.
Absolutely. If they have a family, they've restored those relationships. They have a job. They have a place to live. Those are the ultimate rewards.
That's incredible. If somebody is listening and they've got somebody in the penal system or in the judicial system, how do they try to arrange getting this person involved in a treatment court, in a vet court? How do they go about it?
Sure. They can do any number. They can contact any number of people. One, they can contact their attorney. I've done a broad outreach to the legal community on this program. They can also talk if they're in the criminal justice system, there certainly is a prosecutor involved. All of the county attorneys, the city attorney, are all familiar with the program. They can even contact me, and we'll point them in the right direction.
All right. Any parting thoughts here? We've got about a half a minute.
You know, there's so many people that made this possible. You've been involved with me since the very beginning, Roger, and so I can't thank you enough for your support and everything you've done, and most importantly for the veterans, because without the sacrifices that they've made, we wouldn't be here with this type of program.
Spot on. Thank you, Greg Penske.
Thank you, Roger.
Cascade County District Court Judge and the man who brought to Great Falls our brand new treatment court.
Thank you.
Thank you. On Point continues to air every other Tuesday at 1 p.m. on Montana Public Radio, KGPR, Great Falls. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future shows, please contact me, Roger McConnell, at 406-799-6709 or an email onpointkgpr@bresnan.net.